This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, it's a magnificent Friday. Put a smile on your face. Crazy things happening out there. Good things, scary things, ups, downs. We have asked Dr. Jesse questions on everything under the sun tonight. Some guy's mad at his brother. We're going to talk about air traffic control. Are the communists really on the run right now? We're going to talk about these tariffs tonight. In fact, I'm going to open up with that here in just a few minutes. And Democrats haven't learned a thing yet. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, before I get to the air traffic control stuff and the Ask Dr. Jesse questions and things like that, I wanted to talk about what's about to happen, because it's about to happen tomorrow. And this is just a preparation talk for you and a preparation talk for me. We are roughly a little less than 2 weeks into the Trump presidency. And I couldn't be happier right now. Couldn't possibly be happier. I'm assuming you're right there with me. Very, very happy with what I've seen. Okay, good. We are going to get a lot of good things done. Good. There's going to be pushback and resistance. There are going to be bumps in the road. There are going to be downs over the next 4 years. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm trying to let you know that there are some rocky times inevitably coming, because when you aim your administration, when you aim it at breaking up the corrupt cabal of Western civilization right now, well, you have to expect that Western civilization is going to push back on you. That brings me to what they announced today. Caroline Leavitt, White House press sec, got up today, had this to say.
Friends of Reuters are reporting that the president has made a decision on the Canada-Mexico tariffs, but that they won't actually be implemented until March 1st. I was wondering if you could confirm that and talk through some of the president's thinking.
I saw that report, and it is false. I was just with the president in the Oval Office, and I can confirm that tomorrow, the February 1st deadline that President Trump put into place at a statement several weeks ago, continues. The president will be implementing tomorrow a 25% tariffs on Mexico, 25% tariffs on Canada, and a 10% tariff on China for the illegal fentanyl that they have sourced and allowed to distribute into our country, which has killed tens of millions of Americans. These are promises made and promises kept by the president.
The fentanyl. It's what they're using to justify all this. Here she was.
Tariffs are incoming tomorrow on Canada. And the reason for that is because both Canada and Mexico have allowed an unprecedented invasion of illegal fentanyl that is killing American citizens and also illegal immigrants into our country. In fact, I have more language for you right here. Canada, Mexico, and China, which, as I mentioned, President Trump will implement a 10% tariff on China, have all enabled illegal drugs to pour into America. America. The amount of fentanyl that has been seized at the southern border in the last 2 years alone has the potential to kill tens of millions of Americans. And so the president is intent on doing this.
25% tariffs on Canada, 25% on Mexico, 10% on China, and they are not coming in the distant future. They are coming tomorrow. Now, Canada is in a full-blown state of panic. So is Mexico, so is China. But Justin Trudeau trying to half-threaten but half-beg. Here was Justin Trudeau.
Patrol helicopters began monitoring the border earlier this week, and new canine teams along with imaging tools are being deployed to detect and stop the flow of fentanyl. Meanwhile, our previously implemented border measures are already showing results, too. We've ended the practice of flagpoling when temporary residents travel to the United States only to immediately return to Canada to access immigration services, a decision that's saving Canadian and American border issues officials time and resources. And we're bringing in heightened security for visa applications, which has resulted in an 89% drop in illegal crossings by.
Okay, so that's Justin Trudeau going out there saying, look at all the border stuff we're doing. We're doing so much border stuff. Here are all of our efforts. Please, Trump, don't do it. Don't do it. And of course, he had to drop the you need us.
Demonstrates that we are committed to the Canada-U.S. relationship, committed to upholding the safety and security of our shared border. And while we will continue to explain that Canada is the trading partner the United States needs for its long-term prosperity and global security, Canada has steel and aluminum, critical minerals, clean and affordable energy, stable democratic institutions, shared values, and the best workers in the world. Right now, we're showing the new American administration that they have a strong partner in Canada when it comes to upholding border security, all while simultaneously underscoring that we won't back down, that if tariffs are implemented against Canada, we will respond. We won't relent.
Okay. Hey, look, we're doing so much for this border. Hey, Trump, no need to do the tariffs. Look at all the, we have helicopters. Look at the dogs. Look at how much stuff we're doing. We're really, really, really trying. And keep in mind, Trump, we have so many things you need. We've got this aluminum. We've got stuff. Look, you need us. You need us. We're a good partner. If you tariff us, we're going to respond in kind. Okay, so the tariffs are coming, and Canada will respond. Mexico will respond. China, it is anticipated, they will respond. What exactly that response is going to be, I don't know. How long will these negotiations last? I don't know. I don't want to sit here and pretend like I do know. Keep in mind, that's what these are. These are negotiations. Trump, he wants more from Canada. He wants more from Mexico. He wants more from China. He believes, and he's 100% correct about this, that they have been treating us unfairly for a long time because we've been led by a bunch of spineless losers who have allowed them to do so. And Trump is stepping in, upsetting the apple cart and saying, nope, no more. Treat us right, treat us fairly, or you get tariffs. Now, where do we go from here? Well, it's going to depend on how long it takes for Trudeau to blink, for Mexico to blink, for China to blink. It may be Sunday. The tariffs come down tomorrow. It might be Sunday. It might be by the time I take this microphone again on Monday. Maybe, hey, we worked it all out. No tariffs either way. I don't know. But it might not be. It might be a month. 6 months. Might be a year. It might never happen. Remember, as they've laid out several times, one of the main complaints the Trump administration has with Mexico and Canada is they're our border, right? I mean, besides the ocean, they're our border. Canada's the northern border. Mexico is the southern border. They have crazy open borders, left-wing lunatics running both of those countries, just like what we just had. And for the Western civilization, communist, an open border, flooding your country with foreign barbarians, making sure you crowd out the patriotic citizens who hate you, is a central part of their plan. It is not a side issue. It is a central, you could argue it is the central part of their plan. It is the thing that guarantees them endless power forever. In America, Democrats flat out disregarded the black vote because they're so adamant about opening up the border, because they know the black vote may leave you, but endlessly bringing in foreign barbarians and handing them American taxpayer checks, they will never, ever run out on you. They will vote for you forever. They just filled up the city of Chicago with a bunch of illegals, and they were like, hey, black people, go stuff it. We're replacing you anyway, too. So it is a central part of their plan. The question is, are they willing to abandon or at least slightly abandon that central part of their plan in order to avoid the economic pain that will come for them with the tariffs? And let's keep in mind, that pain will come for us too. The casualties of this little trade war will not only be felt in Canada and in Mexico, they will be felt in the United States of America. They will. And so I don't know where we're going from here, but it's been a wonderful 2 weeks. I'm anticipating a pretty outstanding 4 years. Just know there are going to be some valleys and there are going to be some bumps in the road as the system pushes back. All right? All right. Let's do some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Jesse, the other day, you were doing a commercial for a blender, the Obliterator, and you said the only way to go through the kale smoothie was to liquefy it and suck it down through a straw. A straw, Jesse? A straw? Please play the Why Are You Gay soundbite for yourself. My name is Terry. What's wrong with a straw? If that's one, two... I don't know. It's not. There's nothing feminine about a straw. No, it's not that, Chris. It's not that at all. It's not that. It's I don't even put the straw in there. Ob has the glass straws in there. And thanks to the Obliterator from Chefman, the disgusting filth in that smoothie, all that health food, it's so liquefied. The straw, I feel like the straw makes it go down the gullet easier. And without the Obliterator, I'd be toast. If it wasn't for the Obliterator turning all that stuff into complete liquid, I'd be finished. By the way, are you happy with your blender? You really should try an Obliterator. It looks great. It has AutoSense technology on it. It's won awards. You want something premium without blowing a grand on a blender? Chefman.com, C-H-E-F-M-A-N.com. Anyway, there's nothing feminine about a straw. I didn't put the straw in there. Let's talk about air traffic control next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We've already gotten to one question, and I will get to more, but I'm going to use this email as the impetus for talking about air traffic control. That's one, Corey. I told you I was going to get five in today. Booyah! Already one in. Now, Jesse, I'm not saying that understaffed, overworked air traffic control at Reagan Airport was the cause of the crash, but there are thousands of cases of near misses and close calls all over the country, so on and so forth. Okay, so I didn't do this yesterday, and I'm not going to do this about that specific crash, talking about, you know, DEI and things like that. I'm just not. In fact, I didn't like it yesterday. I didn't think it was appropriate, to be honest with you. But today, we are going to have a talk really briefly, because I want to get to ask Dr. Jesse questions. There are so many good ones and stuff like that, about a conversation we've had many times before about what is DEI? Well, it's cultural Marxism. It's communism is what it is. And what does it mean? What are the results? Everything dies. Every single thing will slowly but surely erode and degrade and die. If you want a macro view of that, the fall of the Soviet Union is a fascinating, fascinating subject. And there are a lot of things you can get into. Like Chernobyl was one of the things that really, really pushed them over the edge. Gorbachev himself said that Chernobyl disaster was really what pretty much brought about the end of it for us. But what really, really happened Why did the Soviet Union finally collapse? Well, over a long enough period of time, over a long enough period of communist control of everything, everything just stopped working. Everything just kind of withered and died in the end. That's what communism does. It destroys, it eats, it ruins everything. Well, any kind of focus on diversity at all, the second you hear that word, your hackles should be up immediately. Your antenna should be up immediately, because that should never be the focus of anybody anywhere for any reason whatsoever at all. It would be like me hiring a new producer because Chris and Corey are worthless, and deciding that I will only hire a producer with green eyes. Well, how many great producers would I pass over before I got to some idiot with green eyes? It would guarantee the show would get worse. Which is, I'm saying something because I don't know how it could get any worse. But still, you understand what I'm saying. Everything dies. And as everything dies, people will die. DEI, the focus on diversity and equity and passing over qualified people to focus on unqualified people. We need more women. It kills people. It has already killed people. Untold quantities of people have died because of the focus on diversity. And if it's not stopped, more will. What do we know about air traffic control? It's a very difficult job. Very stressful job, from what I understand. I've never done it. We also know there's currently a class action lawsuit because we had a bunch of people graduate, which is, from what I understand, a pretty difficult school, air traffic control school, whatever that is. And they were promptly all dismissed because they were white. Open anti-white racism institutionalized in the country. And now we have legions of qualified people who are not air traffic controllers. It's perfectly reasonable to look at what's happening and say, this is going to get people killed, and already has gotten people killed, I'm sure. Pete Hegseth came out and said this.
The environment around which we choose pilots or air traffic controllers, as the president pointed out correctly yesterday, better be the highest possible standard. The best of the best who are managing, you know, multiple flights. I mean, a flight a minute and managing radio traffic. I think the closest analogy to military service, guys, is it pilots or air traffic controllers. I don't care what background they come from, mm-mm, what their race is, what their gender is, if they're rich or they're poor. I just need them to be good at their job because I need my flight to land safely. The same thing applies to the Defense Department, to our military. I don't care about your background, your gender, or your skin color. I want the best. And that's why when the president...
Yeah, sounds good. I'm nodding. You're nodding. But what we have to understand is, for years in this country, this has gone on for years. It's definitely has ramped up recently. In every institution, private, government, military, doesn't matter, that has been set aside. Merit, talent has been set aside in the interest of a bunch of things that don't matter at all. And the results of that, it's not that you have, you know, too many women in leadership positions. That's not the disastrous result of that. The real true disastrous result of that is people have died and will die. If you try to do that, communism will kill wherever you're putting it in. Whatever, think of it like a poison, because that's really what it is. Wherever you inject it, it will die. And we've seen a slow, steady rot in every place of this country because communism has been injected into it. And it's perfectly, perfectly fine, reasonable to have that conversation about everything. That doesn't mean everything's DEI. That doesn't mean everything is the fault of DEI or something. That doesn't mean that at all. But what it does mean is we should talk about it, focus on it, and attack it everywhere we see it. In the same way Relief Factor attacks that inflammation in your body. That's how we should attack communism. You see, Relief Factor doesn't mask the pain in your knee and your back. Ah, man, your biceps sore. It doesn't mask it. It gets rid of it. Don't you want to be pain-free again? Don't you want to go back to how it used to be, where your foot didn't hurt after half a mile of a walk? Don't you want to go back to golfing, working without pain? Why don't you give Relief Factor a try? 3 weeks of it is just $19.95. They let you try it for 3 weeks for $19.95. If it works, you take it every day. It's a nutritional supplement. If it works, order more. Almost everyone does. If it doesn't, don't. No risk. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. You might be pain-free really soon. How's that sound? Relieffactor.com. All right, some Ask Dr. Jesse stuff. Let's talk about Christmas and the Senate next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, on a Friday, a wonderful Friday. Remember, you can still email us. We're live tonight, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We are going to get to this wonderful, wonderful competition they're having to see who's going to be the next big cheese at the DNC. Wow, these people have really not learned anything. That's going to be a fascinating discussion, but I'm going to do a couple other things here really quickly. Jesse, this lady said, hey, large-handed devil dog, I gave you a brilliant idea for your wife for Christmas, and you said that's not how you were going to go. Since your gifting skills are legendary, I'm curious what you ended up getting your princess. My devil dog hit it out of the park with two beautiful pairs of stilettos. Oh, I love knives. Thanks for all the edutainment. Cheers to another year of adventures. Her name is Candy. Okay, so you know that I am famously a bad gift giver. Everyone knows this by now. I try, and the harder I try, the worse the gift is. And I'm pretty sure this year I did worse than I've ever done before in my life. I took my youngest son out one day, and we were going to go Christmas shopping for Rob, and I didn't know where to go. So I started looking up boutique shops. Chicks love boutique shops. They just love it. I never understood it at all. Little shops, Chris, with little knickknacks here. Boutique? What did I say? Boutique? It's boutique. It's not boot. Is it boutique? Corey, is it boutique? No, it isn't. You guys are stupid. Anyway, I went boutique shopping and walked into this place with Luke. It was me and Luke. And so we're goofing around. We're having fun like we always do. And I was so overwhelmed. There were so many chick things everywhere. There was just candles and things that smelled. And there were the paintings and all kinds of stuff. And I didn't know what to get her. So I got her a new set of dishes. Why are you putting your head down, Chris? It was from a boutique. It's not like I got it went to Kmart or something. I got her some boutique dishes. It was like $99 or something. Like what? No, I didn't get her a vacuum and an iron too. Shut up, Chris. I got her, but I got her matching cups. I got her the cups with them. Plates, matching cups, big plates, little plates. I got her a full set of dishes. And I had it set under the tree. And she opens it up Christmas Day. It's a $100 set of plates. She opened it up Christmas Day. And I think it's because of the recent passing of my dad. And I'm still not doing great about that. But she was uncharacteristically nice. Normally, Ab will just give it to me right between the eyes if she doesn't like what I bought. But she pretended so hard. Oh, baby, these are great. Like, she really went all in. I ain't seen the dishes since. What, Chris? What? Maybe that's right, Chris. Maybe I have set the bar so low that she was anticipating crushing disappointment. But I genuinely, the morning of, I was nervous. I'm always nervous when I give it because I know my gift is going to suck. No matter what, if I care about it, if I put thought into it, it will be awful. I know that. And so this time, but every time I did it this time, the same way I do every other time, I talked myself into the fact that this is going to be the winner. This is going to be the one. And I thought it was. And then her reaction was so nice. It's like, wow, she's got her dishes from a boutique. Look at that, boutique Jessie. And then I don't even know where they are. She may have sold them or something. Like she may have put them on eBay. I don't even know that they still exist in the house already. So, yeah. Dear Pink Dong Flower, what is more dishearteningly dumb? The senators displaying their lack of intellectual fortitude with their dumb, emotionally immature rhetoric, or the fact that their staff wrote those asinine comments and questions? Okay, so I think about this, and these confirmation hearings, especially when Democrats are really leading the charge on the confirmation hearing, but it really applies a lot to Republicans too. I don't like to watch them. I'm just going to confess something to you right now. I don't like to watch them, and actually, I try to avoid as much of the actual hearing as I can. And I realize that we're going to come talk about these hearings every night. That is the only reason I pay attention to them at all. And the reason is not that I'm not curious or interested. I am curious and interested. And I like the funny stuff we get from them and the informative stuff. And we get to have talks about all this. But this is going to sound very hokey. Okay. So I'm just going to come out and say it. I really do love my country so much. I am an America freak. I love America. I've always been that way since I was a child. I just love it here. I love my people. I love my country. I'm very, very proud of it. And I get so, you know, I'm not a self-conscious person. I know that's going to be shocking to everybody, but Ob says I have no shame whatsoever. She says that's probably why I do rude things and can't dress. I just don't have any shame. You know what makes me self-conscious? Watching these hearings with these moron senators. It makes me self-conscious in front of the rest of the planet because I want the rest of the planet to not like us. I don't give a crap if they like us or not. That means nothing to me. I want them to respect us and admire us and look up to us. But you and I have had this talk. We had this talk when Joe Biden was president. Remember, we had this talk many, many times before. For all the disastrous things he did, and he did more than we could ever list right now for the purpose of this talk, maybe what got to me more than anything else was, where am I? Where's Jackie? I got some ice cream. I found that to be so embarrassing in front of the rest of the world. That makes me more self-conscious than, you know, the dad sneakers I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing sneakers with jeans right now, and they're fantastic. It's so comfortable. And I know Ob's going to yell when I get home, you wore that out in public? I'm still wearing it anyway. Doesn't make me self-conscious at all. When Joe Biden gets up and speaks, ha, da, da, I start navel-gazing. I think to myself, gosh, man, that sucks. I don't like looking like that in front of the world. And during these confirmation hearings, when you see these ridiculous questions, Mazie Hirono, Honestly, Mazie Hirono, I know Hawaii gets a lot of crap because it's so far to the left, but I have some extremely fond memories in Hawaii. I'll tell you, I love Hawaii. If I thought that I could safely own guns there and not get thrown in prison just for being on the right, and I got a bunch of money one day, so I know it's expensive. Yeah, I know it's expensive, Chris. I got it. Okay, I don't think about prices like you all the time. All right, not as much as you. Anyway, I could live in Hawaii. That's how much I adore it there. Honolulu. Oh gosh, I love Honolulu so freaking much. I like Hawaii a lot, but Mazie Hirono. I'm not asking you to have some fire-breathing right winger, because I understand that's not realistic for Hawaii. Rand Paul's not going to get elected in Hawaii. I got that. I get it. But Mazie Hirono is so dumb. Yeah, someone competent at least. Yeah, that's right, Chris. It's someone who can complete sentences. Mazie Hirono, I'm not even kidding. If you had a conversation if you met Mazie Hirono and you didn't know who she was, and you had a 5-minute conversation with her, you would, at least I would be tempted to give her a hug. I'm not even kidding. Just, I would feel so bad for her. I would think to myself, gosh, life must have been brutal for you, because you're so dumb. Basic tasks have to be monumental for you. And I look at her and say, you know, this kind of portly older lady, and I would my heart would go out to her. Just, oh my, like a dog that's missing a leg. You know that feeling you get when you're driving up the road and you see tripod hobbling up the road and you look to yourself and you're like, oh, it's a dog. I love dogs. Oh my gosh, he doesn't have a leg. That poor thing. That's what I would think if I met Mazie Hirono. Come on, Hawaii. Come on. All right. Let's talk about this DNC forum. Are they on the run? Are they recovering? Let's first talk about this. One of the reasons they are on the run, or at least hiding right now, is we, all of us, have gotten more purposeful with everything in our lives. More purposeful with attacking them, including where we spend our money. Don't dismiss that. It's not only in the government where DEI is being run out of everything. Corporation after corporation after corporation, they're starting to run away from this because you started to make buying decisions, letting your morality follow your money. Switching to Pure Talk is the easiest way you can do that. Starve Verizon of your money. Starve AT&T, starve T-Mobile. You don't need those mobile companies. Pure Talk does everything they do for less money, and they share your values. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Free phone with a qualifying plan, I might want to point out right now. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, reminding you if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. It is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I want to get to this particular subject because there's something going on at the DNC right now that is fascinating. Hey, JK, you sometimes give advice to the communists by telling them how they're doing things the wrong way. Is my concern unfounded that this insight might inadvertently help them to eventually get their approach right? I love the show. Thanks. He says his name is Dave. Okay. So first, let's understand this. The Democrat Party will not be down and out forever. Those of us who've been around long enough, watch this stuff long enough, understand there's always an ebb and a flow to these things. And this is for both parties. This goes for both parties. Whenever your party wins, you feel invincible. And you feel as if the power you have now, you will have it forever. Everyone gets caught up in it. Republicans do it. Democrats do it. I think it was... I'm pretty sure it was James Carville, and I think it was after Obama's election. I don't know. Some of that stuff gets fuzzy. But he came out and said Democrats are going to rule for 40 years. I think he said something like that. Something crazy. But Republican, that's not even a rip on Carville. Republicans say the same thing. It's not true. The Democrat Party will rise again. They will, at some point in time, take back power again. However, that's the bad news. The good news is they are so down and out right now. And as of this moment, again, this will change. I have to keep putting that disclaimer in there. But as of this moment, I don't think they can save themselves. I don't know that they know how to save themselves. And this was really, really evident. Right now they're having a forum. There's debates. There's competition to see who's going to be the new chairman of the DNC. You know, we have an RNC chairman. They obviously have a DNC chairman. You know that. But this was the forum. This was one of the candidates last night.
Racism has not gone away since 20.
It cuts her off in the very beginning. She says racism. That's the word she uses, racism.
Racism has not gone away since 20 people of African descent came upon these shores at Jamestown, Virginia in 1619. And it's going to require us to think and behave in a new way. It is systemic. It is structural. When it comes to addressing diversity, equity, inclusion, access, and belonging, that is for all people of the United States. That must come across the voting line as well. This is everyone's America. Our story has a new form of glory that must come to our shores as well.
Before I play this next clip, I'm going to bring up this story again. Headline, Democrats hammered by ugly popularity numbers. Democrats are down to 31%. That is the lowest party approval in the history of this types of polling. And Republicans have a double-digit lead over them, the highest they've ever been. This is a party. Left-wing politics, communism, Democrats, whatever word you want to put on it, they are being rejected everywhere. This is not just about Trump versus Kamala Harris. We have corporation after corporation after corporation. Hey, we're done with the DEI stuff. You feel it out there. You feel people on the right getting bolder, louder when you feel them shriveling up. They are being rejected. They achieved almost complete power under the Biden presidency. It went well beyond just having the presidency. They owned, it was 15 minutes ago, they owned every single part of this culture. Media, government, everything, every single part of it. They had complete and total power. And because they're demonic savages, they couldn't stop themselves from ruining absolutely everything. It's what they do. And the power has just evaporated from them almost overnight. So these are people right now who should be feeling the sting of rejection. The American people don't want to hear this crap anymore. And I'm not under the impression the American people are all of a sudden as far right as I am. I'm not saying that at all. But normal Americans who are struggling, who are watching the crime, watching the invasion, struggling financially, they don't want to hear about your pronouns. They don't care about trannies. They don't want to hear all this endless crap, all this endless cultural Marxism activism crap. Now, listen to this exchange. I didn't count them. I'd say there were six or seven candidates on the stage. Jonathan Capehart, that worthless media apparatchik, was moderating it. Listen to this.
So I'm going to I have a show of hands. How many of you believe that racism and misogyny played a role in Vice President Harris's defeat? Okay. So that's good. You all passed.
They all raised their hands. You all passed, Jonathan said. If you're a Democrat right now and you think you lost the election because America's racist and misogynistic, you're not going to make it. And the problem is they have trained themselves into a lifestyle, into a mentality that is going to take time to untrain. It's no different than the child who grew up eating fast food every meal. It's what mom and dad bought them. McDonald's every single meal. Gosh, I love McDonald's. McDonald's every single meal. Fast food this, fast food that. Never exercise. You find yourself, maybe this is you, 40, 50 years old and fat. Well, you want to lose weight. You're going to try to dig into it. But the only life you've ever known is fast food and no exercise. So it's not that you have to make a couple major adjustments. You have to change your entire mentality. Your entire being has to change. Well, Democrats have, especially in recent years, decided they are going to become full-blown communists, Maoists. Cultural Marxism will be embraced and pushed at every turn. Well, what do you do when that gets firmly rejected by the American public? I don't know. But I know right now they are lost, and it does not look like they're about to be found. Won't last forever, but we should enjoy it right now. All right, we have more, a lot more. Before we get to all these other things, let's talk about rough greens. Let's talk about what's good for our dogs because we love them. Ob and I were messing with Fred this morning, and he's just such a big goober idiot is what he is. And they brighten your day. They brighten your life. Is there anything better than walking home, walking in the door after a long day, and your big fluffy idiot dog comes screaming to the door to greet you like you're the greatest thing since sliced bread? That's why we give Fred Rough Greens, natural nutritional supplement we sprinkle on his food, because it not only has made physical differences in his life, he doesn't have gut problems anymore because it's got probiotics, things like that in it. Fred's going to live longer because of Rough Greens. They have Meow Greens for your cat. Give your pet the nutrition it needs to stay away from the vet and stay alive. Free Jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG, or you can go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.